On ABC Radio Hobart and across Tasmania, this is Evenings with Louise Saunders.
According to the roadmap set out by the Premier, which is somewhat subject to perhaps change if necessary, it's about another 2.5 weeks and we will perhaps be able to head out around our own state, staying in accommodation overnight, spending a long weekend or a few days away. So what does that mean for the tourism accommodation operators right around the state? It's been a tough few months for them. With me is Noel Stanley from the East Coast, Swansea, always a great place even in the winter. He owns Meredith House there at Swansea. Hi, Noel.
Good evening, Louise.
How tough's it been over the last few months?
Well, I'd have to say from the outset, from our personal experience and from what I know of other operators around here, the state government's proactive stance and their speed and efficacy in getting out assistance and help has given us all, well, breathing space, to put it one way. The Department of State Growth has been, I'd have to say, nothing short of amazing as to how they got grants and assistance and the loan packages, everything organised and sorted. And not only that, they were just so efficient in getting the funds into bank accounts. It was blindingly fast. And I really think they deserve a great big pat on the back for what they've done in terms of tourism operators and accommodation places and business in general that have suffered. So they really should get 3 cheers.
What arrangements were you able to make for staff? Because Easter, I guess, would traditionally have been a busy period for you. Were you able to make arrangements?
Well, yes, Easter was supposed to be. Easter, people talk about normal and new normal and what's happened in the past. But in the past, you know, Easter was always the cream on top of the summer cake, I suppose. You made your money in summer. Leading up from Easter to Agfest was usually where it starts to wind down, but Easter is where you paid your bills and you've got everything to sort of look forward to for the winter, and we missed out on that. Most East Coast and accommodation operators were already down 20% anyway because of particularly international travellers, because they'd started to slow up due to fires, and not just fires here, but fires in Kangaroo Island. Slowed down our German and Dutch tourists. The Americans, they were all doing an itinerary up the east coast of New South Wales by car when they left Tasmania, so most of those cancelled. So we were down 20-25% from summer in any case because of those cancellations, and other operators were similar. But it accelerated certainly very quickly once the pandemic started to get hold.
So once you'd sort of gathered yourself a bit, did you see any opportunity over the coming months after that to do something around the place, to repaint,
well,
or to do something?
Traditionally, we always do. We go into a maintenance schedule in winter in any case. After Agfest, most properties around here, we usually have a staggered closure amongst ourselves, and a lot of the motels and things, they'll close a section off and do their painting and their tiling, and we do, you know, different things that we don't get time to do when we've got guests in. So that's been brought forward. Our problem is really to get the COVID safe tick and how we're going to operate in the future. And that's an interesting dilemma for us, despite the Premier's roadmap. And everyone has this expectation that all Tasmanians are going to get up and start travelling. We only ever had about 5 to 10% Tasmanian tourists, despite the fact that the business has been here for 120 years. 30 to 40% were internationals, and the balance was basically interstate guests. The other thing that's interesting too, and I've not seen an actual figure on it, but the demographics of our travellers, they do tend to be in the older bracket, and that is the people who are probably at risk and the people who are probably a little more hesitant about travelling, and equally financially they may not be in a position to start travelling. So we're not expecting any great huge bump. It is pretty cold tonight, as it is in Hobart. So normally July, where the second or third stage starts, there's still no opening of the borders at this stage at that time. So we wouldn't expect a big bump in travellers, no dark mofo. So there's not going to be a huge influx. So I think we're all going to try and sit and ride it out. The motels and caravan parks are hopeful of some Tasmanian movement, primarily the caravans, because people can safely bring their little house with them and they're not going to be contaminated. How they control the bathroom situation, I'm not sure. We're a hosted B&B, so traditionally we had a lot of interaction with guests, and vice versa, and that's probably not going to happen in future. We're lucky compared to some. We've got four small units which we're working on taking to self-contained. But how we operate and how we open up is the dilemma. THA, Tasmanian Hospitality Association, the Tasmanian Industry Council, Tourism Tasmania, a lot of people have got on working groups to try and help us navigate the 30 or 40 pages of guides on the general opening of the business post-COVID-19, but there's equally the accommodation guides haven't been written specifically, and there's lots of problems in that. When you say head off for a night, we may not be offering a night. We might have to offer two or three, because currently it looks like even self-contained, you'll have to have a 24-hour period where the room is not occupied, and that changes the economics. So there's a lot of hurdles yet to get over.
Yeah, a lot of watches and see. Just say we don't want to lose the gains we've made through the actions of the government, do we?
And that seems to be the community spirit here. That's what everyone is thinking. I mean, you know, we've had the doctors here, you know, wouldn't even sleep in the same house, you know, because even though they're a married couple, they separated so that they could at least have a doctor in case one of them got it and things. There was lots of combinations of things that people hadn't thought of, and equally in accommodation, there's things, fair enough, if we go self-contained, there's things there we haven't thought about. If you leave the plates and the crockery and the cutlery out, do we have to provide a sterilising dishwasher? Do we leave them in there so that people know it's sterilised? There's a lot of things to be worked through until the travelling public is confident to come and stay with someone else, but equally we have to be confident that we can provide a level of safety and security for them to come and stay. So there's a lot of things to happen before we just open up the doors and say, come and stay. I know there are operators who are desperate for cash flow, but they need the blue tick, and there's lots of information, there's lots of discussion. There's some tremendous people working on it. In fact, I suppose we suffer a huge information overload. We're getting so much material, it takes hours to get through it all. But it's necessary, and I don't know that we actually have all the answers yet as to how we're going to do it. That's where we're at.
Noel, I appreciate the insight into just what it is like for a small business and a tourism and accommodation operator. It's been a learning experience there for us as well to hear what you're going through. Thank you so much for telling your story.
Well, thanks, Louise.
Noel Stanley has Meredith House at Swansea.